Once again, we come to you, Lord, and I surrender myself as your servant, Lord. Father, I yield myself to your will, your control by the Holy Spirit. Let your words flow through my mouth. Let me be that one who speaks your thoughts this morning for this place that you've called us to. I thank you for what you're going to accomplish. We've already made it known what our will is, and that is that we have made our hearts and minds open and receptive to receive from you. So now, Lord, have your way and your will in this house and in every life and heart. In Jesus' name. And we give you thanksgiving and praise and glory and honor for what's going to be accomplished today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. During this week, as you all know, I work nights, so I have the ability to listen to some programs and things that some of them I've listened to for years off and on, and some of them are fairly new. But I have the opportunity, you know, because I have a radio in the vehicle that I use, to listen to some really good things. I don't agree with everything, but that's not the point. The point is God can minister. Amen? And, you know, we all know what Proverbs 31 is. We know what it says, but I think there's some insights there that I think we've missed. First of all, how many here know and understand, and this has become very evident to me this week, that from the very foundations of the world, when God called us and chose us, even the gender that we are, which is by the plan of God, did you hear me? The gender we are is by the plan of God. He wasn't mixed up. If you are, then you need to go and find out what God's plan was and get back in line with that. But the point is, even those things that placed gender on us, He has a calling and an anointing in that very gender. And we're going to look at that this morning. This world has gotten completely turned upside down by Satan and his thoughts. And it's crept into the church so that we don't even understand what it is or who it is that we are. Now this morning we're talking about mothers. That's a gifting and an anointing and a calling. Donna said earlier that nurturers and molders. Oh, honey, listen carefully. Listen very carefully, people of God. That doesn't just mean your children. You have the ability to set the pace in your home that will bring blessing on your household, bring honor to your husband, cause your children to honor their father on earth, but more than that, honor their father in heaven. And it's by the way that you honor your husband. There's two of them, the earthly one and the spiritual one, Jesus. We've lost sight of what it is to be a mother, what it is to be a woman. The word's full of places where it talks about the one who can pull a man from the path and drag him down. But in Proverbs 31, it talks about the giftings, the anointing that is placed on women in their homes to make their home a haven, a place of worship, and to direct the thoughts of the family, and even to bring honor to her husband and to the Lord. Are you with me? Did you ever think about that before? Now, don't all raise your hand at once. I'm telling you, it's been a while since I've even thought about things like this, and I don't know that I've ever thought about it with the intensity that's in my spirit today. If you will, turn with me to Proverbs 31. We're going to start in verse 10. I find it interesting, and I'm going to read this real quickly. I won't ask you to stand today. The first nine verses are very interesting to me. I'm going to read those first, and then we're going to get into the text, Proverbs 31. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." His mother taught him. "What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead a cause of the poor and needy. Now these are words of Lemuel's mother to him. And you can see that nurturing and that pulling in and that direction that he needs to have to remind him what his calling is, what his anointing as king is. The same is true with a godly mother, a godly wife. It's a gifting. It's a calling. And there's an anointing involved. Whom God calls, he equips. God has equipped you, ladies, to be what you are in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. You are the completion of the man that you married. Do you understand that? Scripture says that it's not good for man to dwell alone. Scripture says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. But there's a responsibility there. And I can't remember the last time I ever heard anybody talk about that and bring that responsibility to light. Now, I thank God that we have godly examples in this place. Amen? I got to meditating. You know, it's easy for us to get down and think about all the things we missed out on or all the mistakes that our parents made and things, you know. But the point is, when I stop and look, even if I look at my daughter, when I see her with her children, I see that she is a Proverbs 31 woman. What do I mean by that? Well, we're going to look and we're going to see. Verse 10 of chapter 31 of Proverbs says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Her heart, or the heart of her husband, safely trusts her." In this world today, there's so much treachery and so much self-centeredness that a man never knows when he leaves what's going on when he's away. And that's even in the church. Last night at the building I was working at, I watched a couple come in. They walked by me. They'd been out partying. You knew that. They didn't exactly appear drunk. But as soon as the man got down the hallway, he started hooting and hollering, acting like an idiot. Well, that's a pretty good indication. You've had one too many. Probably several too many. They get on the elevator. They go downstairs. I see them get out of the elevator on the camera. And within 5 minutes, they're coming back upstairs, and she comes and stands right by my desk with him standing there looking at her. And she's saying, "My husband's drunk, and he won't give me the keys." So we had a little conversation. I told him a little bit about my background. I said, "I'm not qualified to stand here and judge whether he's drunk or not, and I'm not certified to do that. But I can tell you that you're putting her life in danger." And her comment to me as he stood there, indignant, he wasn't boisterous or out of control. She said to me, she said, "I don't know if he even cares about my life at this point." And they proceeded to have an issue. Not a fight or anything like that, but you could tell there was contention. And the thought came to my mind, this marriage isn't going to last very much longer. It's over. There's no respect for one another. She's desperately looking for respect, but she's also not giving the respect. Now, she's looking out for her own hide because he's not. And that's another story. We'll get into that. Probably Father's Day. But you can see the lack of honor, the lack of respect on both parties' parts. But ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If she had the mentality, because of a relationship with God, that she needed to have. Many of you didn't get to know, or if there's a few of you in here, didn't get to know Doris Setliff. There was a lady who, no matter what kind of an idiot her husband was, and J.W., just like all men, had the propensity to be a little stupid sometimes. Don't be throwing things at me, guys. You know it's the truth. Don't lie against the truth. And yet she stood through by with him through thick and thin, and she never badmouthed him. She never ran him down, and she never went against him. Do you understand when you do that, what you do is you allow God to bless and bring into fruition things in the life that cause him, even though he may be an idiot, you can cover those things in his life. And by so doing, you perpetrate and show your children how to honor their father, which in turn, as you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, will cause them to honor their father, God. They overlap. They work together. They work hand in hand. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. So she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. One of the things that exploded out and got a hold of me here is by her conduct, she is also bringing into the house the reality of the love, the unquestionable, the unchangeable, and undying love of God, who looks beyond all of our faults, who looks beyond all of the shortcomings that we have, and lets that love be seen so that that house operates the way it's supposed to operate, and thus brings blessing on the house. Now, there's two parties, but today we're focusing on the women. We've lost sight, and we don't have respect for motherhood. Women don't have respect for motherhood. And so this is why we live in a nation that's full of all kinds of garbage, because motherhood has been basically trampled underfoot. Women don't even want to be women anymore. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying they want to change their gender necessarily. I went out with a young lady one time who was quote-unquote a Christian, quote-unquote went and got licensed to be a marriage and family counselor. And this little girl's so screwed up that for the first 2 years of her life, she didn't even live in the same house with her husband. I still to this day don't know how they ever got pregnant. And when they did finally move into the same house, they lived in separate rooms. When we went out, I was brought up to be a gentleman, to treat women with respect. So even when I wanted to open the door, her mentality is, how warped is this? And yet she claims to be a Christian. She doesn't know God. She needs to get saved. What do I mean by that? I'm not questioning her salvation, but she doesn't understand salvation. She thought I had some ulterior motive in mind because I wanted to treat her with respect. Hello? And I'm going, this does not compute. Being equal has been shoved down the throats of society today. Women being equal. I don't remember ever where God said you weren't equal. But he said he had a plan, and he had a governmental hierarchy, and we have to follow that hierarchy. And believe it or not, women, you're not at the bottom of the list. Are you with me? See, you've been given a gift. Motherhood is a gift. You have the ability to set the pace of the nation. Now, I'm not saying everything that's gone wrong is your fault or women's fault. That's not what I'm saying. But you see the deception that's crept in? Let's go on. She's emulating God. He says he has good thoughts for us. He knows the thoughts that he has. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Doesn't that sound like God reaching out to the needy, which includes you and I? Hello? See, if you understand and you take seriously what your role is, no matter whether it's a father, a mother, a man, or a woman, if you understand that this is what God designed, and you get out of your selfishness, which you've been taught since you were this big and could understand your first words, you would understand the mighty and awesome and thrilling place you've been set in by the design of God, your Father. Wow. Praise God. Verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. Ladies, let me tell you something. I want to go back and touch this again. You have, by your conduct, the ability to make your man what he needs to be and make him what God's design is, or you have the ability to shoot him down, make him feel worthless, which is going to bring calamity on your entire house. And you can bank on you're going to end up in divorce, or at least being in a marriage that you don't want to be in. Children who are rebellious, children who don't have any respect for anybody, let alone their father and mother, and it's because of the disrespect that's shown in this world by women to the men they marry. They don't marry for the right purposes anymore. They marry for convenience or for gain, or just so they can say, I'm not alone. Or if you will, if I can just be blunt, a legal, in their mind, a legal reason to be able to have sex without scrutinization or without being labeled. Very poor reasons. Very poor reasons. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. In order to get honor, you have to give honor. In order to get respect, you have to give respect. Your godly conduct as a mother can cause your husband to take the rightful role and for him to give honor the way he needs to give honor to God. Many times I've used the example of Smith Wigglesworth's wife. Smith Wigglesworth's wife, he was a stinker before he was saved. I mean, he was rotten to the bone. One night she had gone like she always does, fixed the meal, prepared it, fed him, took care of him. She cleaned everything up. Everything was in its proper place, spotless. She brought him his paper and, if you will, his pipe and slippers, and he was in his easy chair. She says, now, Smith, I'm going to go to church. And, of course, the idiot that he was, he gets his hackles up and he says, no, you're not going to church. Smith, I've done everything that needs to be done. The house is clean. I'll be home in a little while, but I'm going to go to church. You go out that door. This is paraphrase. It's not verbatim. But if you ever get a chance to read about Smith, do that. And you're not coming back in. Well, she didn't have a key. Whether or not he was aware of that, I don't know. I think he wasn't aware. Anyway, however it went. But the point is, when she came home, she couldn't get in. She sat on the back step of that house all night long. And the next morning, she didn't even raise an eyebrow. She got up and went right in and fixed his favorite breakfast. What's in the world today? It's Philadelphia or filial love. Do me right and I'll do you right. Do me wrong, look out, honey. You don't know what I'm talking about. See, when we're operating in the gifting and calling and anointing, we've made the decision we're going to love without any reservation, without any hesitation. And what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love never is envious nor boils over the jealousy. It never sinks its own. It never thinks wrong thoughts. It only sees good and righteousness and justice. When's the last time you really saw that outside of this place? Almost never. Almost never. Can I tell you something? You know why some men aren't successful? Now, I'm not saying that's all your fault, ladies, but I'm saying you have the right, or the ability, not the right, the ability to set the standard in your home that can make your husband have confidence, make him successful, and make him do, not by your words, but by your actions, make him take the place that he needs to take and consider you over and above him and your children. To do what he does, not for personal gain, but to provide the way he's supposed to provide for your household. You have the ability to build him up, or you have the ability to shoot him down. You read the book of Proverbs, and it tells you all about a contentious woman being the rottenness, or a contentious wife being the rottenness in a man's bones. If you're not happy with the place that you're at, and I hope this tape goes out, I hope it gets into the hands of people. I hope a lot of people listen to the website, you know, get this message. If your household is not what you want it to be, instead of looking for a way out or looking how to change things, first of all, what the Bible says is consider your ways. The one thing you need to always understand, and I thank God that he taught me this years ago, is first of all, look right here when there's something going on. You get yourself right, and you watch God, or better yet, you watch the door that opens for God to move on the behalf of those that are around you, to put them in the right place by your godly conduct. How do you know that by your godly conduct you won't win that man who may not even be a Christian? If you love God first and you honor Him and you allowed Him to set the standard by His word and to teach you, and this is for men and women both, what your place and role is. God didn't make a mistake. Oops, that one came out of the wrong mold. No. You have the ability to set the pace to make your home a place where people come, they feel safe, they see the Lord, and they're ministered to. I can almost hear some people saying, I didn't ask for this. No, you didn't. But God and His love and His care for you made you what you are and gave you the ability and the equipped you to do that so that you can make your home a place of safety, a place of love, and a place of comfort and security from the respect that you're doing what you need to do to set the pace for your family, for your children, and your husband. And in turn, He will turn that back on you. Now, man, I'm going to tell you this. This is just a prelude to possibly Father's Day. The one thing that I know for a fact, and the one thing that's not been foreign to us in this house, is when you become a good bride to Jesus, you'll become a good husband. Because you only consider the other person. You don't consider yourself. There's so much selfishness running rampant in this world today. I mean, it's enough to make you sick. It does make me sick. Everything people do is all about me. I have my rights. And when they say that, what they're basically saying is you don't have any rights in my eyes. I'm the only one that counts. Does that sound like or look like Jesus? Not even close. Not even on the same planet. Strength and honor are her clothing in verse 25. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll remind you again that it says, evil doesn't return evil. Love doesn't consider a suffered wrong. It doesn't consider itself. Well, honey, that just knocks selfishness right out of the ballpark. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. If you're not getting praise in your house, once again, maybe it's time to consider your ways. And again, I'm talking to both genders in this. If you're not getting the honor due you, maybe it's because you've not done the right thing to receive honor. But let me tell you something. What I'm also saying is that doesn't relieve the responsibility of the other person to return evil for evil. You do what you need to do in purity before the Lord and watch God provoke the other party to jealousy. You hear me? Watch Him do it. Whew. When's the last time you said, thank you, God, for who I am and what I am? Thank you, Father. I don't know about y'all. Well, yes, I do too, because you're no different than I am. There's been times in your life when you complained. God, what were you thinking? God, couldn't you have done something different? Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. How many know it's all about perspective? It's about perspective. God doesn't do anything by accident. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one who has all of the characteristics of man. We were created in His image and likeness, were we not? Amen? We know by the word that it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see Him face to face, we will be like Him. When God saw that man was alone, he created the woman to be a helpmeet, one worthy to serve. And that first thing you think of, oh yeah, I'm just a servant. That's not what he was saying. You see, we get things out of perspective because of the way we've been programmed. Just like the scripture that Deborah quoted the other night, on Wednesday night. When the enemy comes in like a flood, or comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. Now you look at the punctuation in Isaiah 59, verse 19. And what it says is, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. Well, I like it the other way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. Woo! Glory to God. See, these are not just mundane things and ho-hum things. Even to the very creation, your very creation. And I'm going to remind you again, John 1:13, it says, you were not born of the will of man or of the flesh or by blood. You were born by the will of God. Fearfully and wonderfully made, designed, and God said it is very good. So when he says you're a helpmeet, one worthy to serve, that means not only worthy to serve, but worthy to be served. If I came in here and started ragging on, railing on you, or started being real ornery and stuff, how long would you want to be around me or want to serve me? I didn't hear any answers, but I heard it loud and clear what you were thinking. I'd get the left foot of fellowship out the door, and that'd be the end of that. God blessed you women to be women and mothers, companions to your men. He's not complete without you. But he'll never be what he needs to be if you don't take your place seriously and get in his presence and let him reveal to you what exactly your role is and the importance. Did you hear me? The importance of your role as women and mothers and wives. Can I tell you something? Today we honor mothers. Can I tell you, your Father honored you by creating you who and what you are. I think one of the greatest titles you can wear is Woman of God. Woman of God. All we look at is the roles of, well, I got to go to work and I got to earn money just so I can support my family. Or, well, I got to go and wash and clean and do all these things just to take care of my family. And you don't understand the honor and the blessing it is to walk in what you've been called to walk in. And again, that's for both parties, not just the ladies. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. See, when I think about this message as God was dealing with me, I began to see women in a different light. Not that I've ever disrespected them, but I see them in a different light than what I've ever seen them before. I look at my mother. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. And I never even realized it before. It was easy for me to find the fault, even though I love her dearly and she's been nothing but a blessing to me in my life, for the most part. The other parts, they're making difference. The point is, she's the reason I'm standing here in the pulpit today preaching. Because she prayed for me. Because she told me about the Lord. She took me to church. Did she do everything perfect? No. But I never saw a day that she didn't get up and fix her husband and us kids breakfast. Did we always appreciate it? No. But I can tell you now, I do. I understand. This wasn't just something to be taken for granted. She deserves honor. She deserves to be blessed. She's blessed by God. She needs to be blessed by us men. Your wives need to be blessed by you guys. Let them know how much you appreciate who they are and what they do. And realize whatever successes you have from the time you got married on were only in part, not in just in part, but a great deal based on the relationship you had with your wife. Even in the Christian walk, there's a beginning. So even if these things were not, today is the day to call those things that be not as though they are. Amen? You hear me? That's for everybody. That's not gender specific. Call those things would be not as they are. And realize today could be the turning point. Oh, honey, you want a spark back in your relationship? You get face to face with God. Let Him tell you how much He loves you and how much He value He placed on you. And the thoughts, the good thoughts and plans He had for you, even in your gender. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God doesn't do anything just because it's something to do. He's got a plan and a purpose. Right down to the very specifics, even before you performed in fashion, your mother's womb, of who you would be and what your role would be. If you're not happy, once again, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Amen? God will take care of the rest. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
So today, I'm here to tell you, right here, from me to you ladies, I honor you today. I honor the calling and the anointing God's placed on you. Your children would not be where they are today. Now listen carefully. Don't let the enemy bring negative into your mind. Would not be what they are today if it wasn't for you. It takes both, fathers and mothers. That's why God designed both. But if it wasn't for you, who's the one who has the most contact with your children, they wouldn't be serving the Lord today. And they wouldn't have things as good as they do. Now, they may not be getting everything that you want for them and that God wants for them, but don't give up. Don't give in. Understand who you are. Understand who you are. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this day to honor your creation, Lord. I give honor to you, but in this day, I want to honor your creation. These women who have consecrated their lives to you, who have given themselves to you, Lord. And in all of this, Lord, a day-by-day walk with you means the direction and correction. Beginning to see things in the perspective that you designed, Lord. Not based on the world standards or what's seen in the church today by those who really don't even know you, Lord. But who you really are according to your word and what's revealed through fellowship with you. I thank you for these women who have set the standard in this church. Emulate you, Lord, who allow the Holy Spirit to operate through them. I speak honor on them today, Lord. Lord, I just send your word, and with that word, honor to these ladies today. Reveal to them how much you love them, and part of that love was the design and purpose that you made them who what they are. Thank you for our mothers, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your matchless name. Praise your Holy One. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, right now, without asking for a show of hands, I know there are represented here, both spoken and unspoken. I know there are ones who need healing, ones who need a touch from you, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, Lord. So I send your word, and I lift up every need that's represented here, Lord. You see it, you know. And I thank you, Lord, as the word goes forth, those needs are met, and the relationship with you is built and grows stronger. And in the places where they need to have their eyes open and their understanding illuminated, Lord, according to your word in Ephesians 1:18, that happens also. So that they'll draw closer to you, Lord. And you said if we would draw close to you, Lord,
If we would draw close to you, you would draw close to us. Thank you for it being done. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory. And thanks in advance. We know it's done, Lord. Now we thank you for the manifestation. Hallelujah.
I had one quick comment that I saw on a bumper sticker. Is that you hadn't had a full-time job until you're a mother.
That's right. That's right.
And I thought, you know, there's a lot of wisdom to that statement.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord. If you have a mother today that you can get to or you can call, go give her a call or go hug her neck and love on her today. Let her know how much you appreciate her. You know, by doing that alone, even if she knows, whether she knows the Lord or not, you can cause hot coals to be placed on her head and cause her to see the love of God manifest through you. See, God separated man and woman, and he created a woman separately and gave her the things she needed to be to make the man complete, to make him what he can, when will, and needs to be. But whom God calls, he equips. So he's also equipped you. He's not just called you, he's equipped you to be able to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessing as we dismiss. On the food, Lord, we ask you to sanctify, we just sanctify it by your word in this prayer. We receive it with thanksgiving and bless our fellowship, Lord. We thank you for the closeness we feel in this house, for the family, this family, Lord. We thank you for that. Unlike any other we've ever known, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself, Lord. Your thoughts, your plans, and your purposes to us today. In Jesus' name, we give you honor and glory, Lord. Amen.